It absolutely is time for hour two of the Buck Rising Show here on 104.5 The Zone. Buck off today. His trusty producer, Lucas Panzeca, behind the glass. I'm Rhett Bryan. She is Amy Wells. It's a little Titans radio takeover of the Buck Rising Show today on 104.5 The Zone. Check us out on Zone TV. I know people are watching and commenting. Twitch, you can download that app. Follow 104.5 The Zone. There is a YouTube channel, Facebook Live. You can get notifications when the shows go live, and certainly Periscope through Twitter. We ask you to join us, subscribe, check us out. So hour two begins on the Buck Rising program here, and we're going to get to, in hour three, a Titans training camp primer, and also what an in-person offseason, unlike what we had in 2020, means for a team like the Titans, who are trying to get over the hump, you know, win 11 games, win their division, and trying to take a step forward towards the championship. And we'll get to that in hour three. Right now, hour two starts with some major news that came down yesterday from the Supreme Court. They unanimously affirmed a ruling that provides for an increase in how college athletes can be compensated. They upheld a district court judge's ruling that the NCAA was violating antitrust law by placing limits on education related to benefits that schools can provide athletes. This ruling means that schools can provide unlimited compensation to student athletes as long as it is connected to their education in some way, Amy Wells. And this is interesting timing because this comes less than 2 weeks before new laws are scheduled to hit the books that take effect in Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, New Mexico, Texas, where it allows the athletes in the NCAA to make endorsements and monetize their social media presences, the name, image, and likeness things that are taken off like a rocket in this.
Right. So there's a lot to kind of unpack in this, but basically what the ruling from the Supreme Court was saying, they were upholding a lower court ruling that basically gave universities the ability, or the NCAA and all the schools that are associated with that, the ability to provide things outside of just room and board and books and things like that. Mm-hmm. So they can also provide advanced degrees. They can provide musical instruments. They can provide paid internships and study abroad. I was going to say international travel, which sounds way more luxurious than study abroad.
Yes.
But so they can provide things that have before been seen as not necessarily conducive to your education and was kind of previously seen to have been a slippery slope to. Mm-hmm. So what else is related to your education? But I think that providing the opportunity to have a fuller college experience.
Well, and the thing about, you know, this has been an argument on talk shows like the great ones here on 104.5 The Zone for years, in that how rigid the NCAA is in terms of just silly things. Let's take, for example, if you're from wherever and you don't have a lot to, you know, financially, you're not well off, and that training table is closed on a weekend, you're in survival mode,
right?
And you know, Ramon Foster can probably tell this, and Ron Slay can probably tell this better than anybody, because they've been through college athletics at the University of Tennessee. And just kind of where things are and what you do in survival mode for this. Just something simple like that. And I think, you know, the NCAA, and I'm not defending them in this, but, you know, they're very guarded against what you, air quote, call a slippery slope in this thing. But here's the thing is that Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh took it a step further. Here's his quote. Nowhere else in America can businesses get away with agreeing not to pay their workers a fair market rate on the theory that their product is defined by not paying their workers a fair market rate, he wrote. And under ordinary principles of antitrust law, it is not evident why college sports should be any different. The NCAA is not above the law. So he's put them on notice.
Steamy. Yeah. His response, I think, is where a lot of people are starting to make the tie between that and some of the other things that have been talked about in regards to name and likeness and all of that. It seems as though Justice Kavanaugh is kind of making that connection that, you know, compensation for work on and off the field needs to be consistent with what a regular United States industry would be. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of where those ties are being made. And it seems as though this is a step down that path. It is not the entire path.
Right.
And it is not even really the ruling in and of itself is not that.
No,
but it gets us closer. The boat in that way.
Yeah, it gets us closer to the whole argument of should college athletes be paid?
Right.
Now, you brought up an excellent point yesterday right here on the Buck Rising show as we were filling in for Buck, in that the Olympics in Tokyo are cranking up here very soon. If you're an amateur athlete, and we know where their stance is, the Olympic committees, on, you know, being compensated. You know, it happened to Jim Thorpe all those years ago where he was stripped of medals that he won in the Olympics because he had worked in, you know, semi-professional, either baseball or football, whatever it was, because he did everything. But where is this? Did you get any clarity reading further about what this might do to Olympic sports like this and their stance on it?
I didn't really, because as this stands right now, it basically pertains, in what is written in this settlement here, it pertains to men's and women's basketball, football, one other sport that is not in my brain right now.
That's okay.
But it really, as this stands right now, it was in reference to some of the major earning sports. Of course, what stands for one sport, as we've seen in the NCAA, stands for all the sports. But those were specifically addressed within what they were talking about. But I don't know, to answer your question, and I wish I did.
And I think we'll get clarity on this as this thing moves forward, because, you know, the International Olympic Committees will have to take a look at this, because it will directly affect them. Because you're talking, when, you know, a lot of these track and field stars are from major Power Five programs that will be competing in the Olympics in Tokyo here very soon. You know, I think some of the interesting things out of this is just where this develops from here. Because you're right, it's not the end all be all, but it's starting down that path. And you brought up another excellent point right there. If this is, and a lot of this has been being driven by football and basketball, certainly football, they've made billions of dollars off of this, off the athletes. And you're right, if they do it for them, then if you play softball, if you're a bowler, if you're a whatever, you'll have a chance to monetize yourself.
Yeah, I just looked at an article that I previously referenced at USA Today, if you want to go check it out.
Okay.
Men's and women's basketball and the football bowl division. So that's what they were really talking about here. And they're saying cash or cash equivalent award. So that's a myriad of things. But the thing that's important is that it all has to have that touch point of being attached to your education and enhancing your education. That's where this stands right now. We're not talking about pulling a paycheck because your face was on a poster. We're not talking about your presence in a Madden game, or, you know, going to certain speaking events or engagements or doing an autograph signing. We're not talking about any of that stuff. We're talking about what you can receive as a student athlete to help enhance your education. This is saying that as a student athlete, you are entitled to more than just room and board and your books being paid for and your tuition to the school. You are entitled to receiving some of the other things that would have a part of your education. So that could be a laptop, that could be a study abroad program, as we said before, that could be a musical instrument, that could be a postgraduate degree, that could be those things that will help you get to your career. And the NCAA isn't being so restrictive on what those things mean.
Right.
So
I think that's, you broke it down good,
kind of where we are right now. But this is exciting for a lot of student athletes, I think, because the precedent that this kind of sets is, hey, we're doing a lot of stuff and we're not really being compensated for some of the things that we're doing, yeah. Which wherever you fall on that is your own thing. Because there are a lot of arguments being made a lot of different ways, but
socioeconomically, this will help a great deal of athletes.
This will help a lot of athletes.
Where they, and like I said earlier, they go into survival mode because they're shut off because of the, you know, the regulations and restrictions from the NCAA.
Absolutely. And there's so many things that without using school facilities, student athletes just aren't able to do because they don't have the funds to do it. This helps a little bit with that. And, gives people the ability to actually have a college experience and, you know, eat and things like that. When they are not doing sports things, which I think is a fantastic thing. And Justice Kavanaugh kind of took it a little bit further by saying, oh, by the way, what the NCAA is doing may or may not actually be legal.
So stay tuned. That will certainly be a topic as we get into these things further down the road, no doubt about it. On the way, I'll tell you something's great, and Amy Wells had this idea, and I think it's a really good one. We're going to visit the AFC South. Headlines from each of the other three teams and kind of where they are as they head into the 2021 season. All of that and more as the Buck Rising Show continues on 104.5 The Zone. Yeah, Titans Radio will be on the road again before we know it for the 2021 NFL season. I'm Rhett Bryan alongside Amy Wells as we fill in for Buck Rising on the Buck Rising Show here on 104.5 The Zone. Thanks for following along on Zone TV, Twitch. You can download the app, follow 104.5 The Zone, YouTube, Facebook Live, and certainly on Periscope. We've been talking about the NCAA, the ruling they had yesterday from the Supreme Court, and what will head possibly down to a path of more things available to student athletes. And John in Nashville has chimed in, and he'd like to add something to the conversation. John, you're on 104.5 The Zone. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, guys, or morning, or whatever time it is. I don't even know.
That's okay.
my wife was a rower at Kansas, which when I met her, that was a shock. I didn't know that they rowed at Kansas. I thought it was just wheat fields. And she told me that she had a teammate that was from Mexico that on top of her, like, so say that the average tuition was $30,000 a year at Kansas. So that student was given a scholarship worth roughly like $80,000. So that would be $20,000 over the tuition and room and board and everything. Explain how that was this extra money was apparently for living expenses, things like that, able to go back to Mexico to see family, stuff like that. Explain how that's okay and that's permissible, but all these other things, you know, musical instruments, study abroad programs, how the NCAA was cracking down on that.
All right, John, thanks for calling. I appreciate that. And you know, I don't know that I'm qualified to completely answer what the differences are there because there's so many things involved in this.
There are so many things involved in this. And so things happen on school by school basis that are a little bit different. And there's nuances to the way that scholarships are given up and things, the way that things are basically, to put it in a like a stupid thing, like coded, like in a budget, you know, the way that things are kind of categorized varies from school to school. And it's hard to really say what was going on. I have questions for you or your wife, mainly about rowing in Kansas. Like what body of water are you rowing in? Is this in a pool? Do you compete against other people? Are there other rowers in the Midwest? I have a lot of questions and we won't even talk about the Kansas of it all because I can't even as a Missouri grad, but I wish we could answer your question a little bit more. I, like Rhett, don't really know the nuance of NCAA scholarships and the way that things are given away and allocated and all of that and the way that they're assigned and what they are adjacent to and all of those things. I just know that whatever the restrictions are, they are loosening up.
And I know this, as things develop with this, you just keep it right here on 104.5 The Zone. We will have guests. We will get to the bottom of these things. Yeah. Yeah, you said it, I didn't, but yes, I agree.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a very compelling topic as to what unfolds with the NCAA going forward. And it's something that's been brewing for a long time, and now it's getting a real shove because of what's happening at Capitol Hill. So, okay, as we promised, we are going to take a whip around the AFC South with kind of headlines of what their offseason is like and what 2021 going into that. And then I've got some comings and goings of each team as far as free agency and those things. We're going to start this right now. So go ahead and let's lay it down, Amy Wells. Let's start with the Houston Texans.
Well, with the Houston Texans, here's a little bit of roundup for the headlines that I found. So Houston Texans, no mini camp, no problem. They canceled their mini camp because they felt like they had great attendance in OTAs. They felt they got everything done that they needed to accomplish. And so they had no mandatory mini camp. What that also means is that there are no fines assessed to any of the players who did not show up to mandatory mini camp. I don't want to say that buys them a little bit of time with their quarterback situation, but it kind of buys them some time with their quarterback situation, figuring out exactly what they're going to do with that, which leads me to the next point, which is, do they have a quarterback? And if so, who is it? Tyrod Taylor is their number two quarterback on their roster. The National Football League has not had any sort of investigative meetings with Deshaun Watson in terms of the accusations that have been made against him. Legally, he is still kind of going down that road. It has been said that there is no sort of settlement.
And his court date isn't until February 2022.
Right, and there's no sort of outside settlement that is pending. He, as it seems right now, is going to take this thing all the way out to court and see what happens there, as it stands right now. So we don't really know what's going on in Houston when it comes to their quarterback situation. But by canceling mandatory minicamp, Deshaun Watson was not fined for not being at that minicamp, as were any of the other players who would have been there and didn't report. They weren't fined because it didn't happen.
Yeah, because what they're going to have to do at some point when camp starts is they're going to have to designate him to an NFI did not report list, suspended, whatever it ends up being.
Right.
He'll be on one of those lists as a roster exemption.
If they decide not to try and trade him, which it doesn't seem likely that something like that would happen.
I wouldn't think. With all this stuff hanging over his head, I don't know how you'd do that.
Right. I don't think that that's an option either. That is what Deshaun Watson requested months ago before any of these other accusations came out. But it seems as though Houston's going to have to say something at some point.
And they have, man, their transaction list is a mile long. They added, they went deep on quarterbacks and running backs, to your point, because Tyrod Taylor is apparently the quarterback that took the reps in minicamp or in OTAs because they didn't have a minicamp. But they went deep on running back and quarterback. They had Mark Ingram, the former Saint, former Raven. They have Philip Lindsay from the Broncos. And they already had an okay backfield. But they have Tyrod Taylor. They have quarterback Ryan Finley. They, who else did I see? Jeff Driscoll from the Broncos. They added Christian Kirksey, the inside linebacker from the Packers. That was probably their big free agent get. Marcus Cannon, the tackle, in a trade with the Patriots. They got Shaq Lawson in a trade with the Dolphins at defensive end. Rex Burkhead they got from the Patriots. But, you know, there's no J.J. Watt. There's no Bernardrick McKinney. There's no Darren Fells at tight end. I mean, they lost quite a bit in this thing, including A.J. McCarron also. So he went to the Falcons in this to back up Matt Ryan. So, you know, there are a lot of folks that believe that Houston is going to be in serious disarray through the 2021 season. And I think if nothing is settled with Deshaun Watson, I would totally agree with that. There's some people think they'll have the first overall pick in the 2022 draft.
Well, and maybe that's something
that would just
that
be
they
terrible
want
for Titans fans.
Oh, yeah. Well, it would be when they got someone who's really awesome, mm-hmm. and then we have to face them twice a year.
Because they went first overall, yeah.
My question is all of kind of the goofery aside, from a football standpoint, how can you say that you have accomplished everything that you're possibly going to accomplish in OTA? Like, I can't imagine being part of a franchise that says, you know what, we also have these 3 days that we could get to work, or we have this week that we can use to work and get some real things done. No, thank you. We don't want that.
And I wonder how much of that is directly correlated to the whole Deshaun Watson situation, because David Culley is a, even though he's been a longtime assistant, he is a rookie head coach in the NFL.
Right, and I get that, and that seems to me like the only thing that makes sense, but it seems very much to be a PR move that is trumping a football move, and in my mind, that feels very dangerous.
Listen, that whole Jack Easterby deal down there, who was a former team chaplain and all this stuff, that's a weird dynamic in that place. It really is strange. I'm glad that we're not a part of that. It'll be interesting to see that develop. All right.
Best of luck to them down there.
As we continue through the AFC South, let's go to Jacksonville now.
All right. Jacksonville's an interesting one because they are saying that they don't have a QB1 just yet. We all need to hold our horses because assuming that Trevor Lawrence is their starting quarterback is a mistake. That is from their passing game coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer. Mm-hmm. He says they haven't decided who QB1 is yet, and we all just need to chill out and let the process unfold. Literally no person believes him. Like, not a single human being. I don't think Gardner Minshew even believes that this is a real thing, but he is saying that we don't know. Trevor Lawrence is doing a great job. He's picking up the system. He wants to know the entire playbook by training camp, but we don't know. Anything is possible. I say baloney, baloney, baloney.
I say what my grandfather used to say, I sold my cows, I'm not buying your bull. Come on, man.
No,
you drafted him number
you.
One overall. He's QB1. Let's be real here.
And he's there's no way. There is no way that you're going to bench him and play Gardner Minshew instead. If you do, you're crazy cakes and maybe should go to Houston.
It's Tim Tebow, guys. It's for Tim Tebow.
Well, here is the thing that leads me
to my next point,
my friend. Tim Tebow is not the main story after minicamp. He is a footnote in a lot of stories, but not the headline, which I think is interesting. Overall, the evaluation of Tim Tebow, not bad. Not great, but not bad. Better than we expected. Clearly has never been a tight end, but we can probably fix that. See you in training camp. That is the evaluation of Tim Tebow.
You learned today he's not a part of tight end university here in Nashville, right?
Ah, Rhett. NFL pettiness today, which I love so much. It was a story, which is ridiculous. It should not have been a story, but the story was Tim Tebow was not invited to Tight End University, the event that is put on by George Kittle and Greg Olson. They have a big thing here in Nashville for tight ends around the NFL to get together. It's a whole thing. And Tim Tebow was not invited. And when they were asked about it, they basically said, well, he's not a full-time tight end. Basically, they said, make a roster as a tight end dork, and then maybe we'll invite you, which I get what he was saying, that if we invited every backup tight end in the league, we would invite everyone. But then he also went on to say, by the way, we're full. There was no more room at the hotel. I mean, I'm sitting in Nashville right now, and I can see like six hotels, so I'm sure he could have found
Best Western right here out the window, and I guarantee you there's vacancy
there. I'm sure he could have found a room.
Wow.
So I don't think that like the hotel's full is a great answer, but it is a kind of petty thing to just be like, well, he's not a starter.
Well, so and I think the dynamic here is
he can't sit with us.
That is going to be a story that pops up, but if he doesn't make the roster, then obviously that goes away quickly. I think the big story outside of what they've added on offense in the draft with, you know, they took Travis Etienne, Trevor Lawrence's teammate, Trevor Lawrence's quarterback. But I think that this real story is Urban Meyer's NFL education, and it's going to be a school of hard knocks. No pun intended. It really will be. And I think how he gets through that is going to depend on what this team does. And I'm not discounting Houston or Jacksonville. Every time they play the Titans, it's tough. But the Indianapolis Colts is really who the Titans are vying for the division with in this.
Yeah, absolutely. And switching over to the Indianapolis Colts, Carson Wentz really thinks that the Colts can be good. He's fired up about this team. He's really fired up about some of the additions that they've made in the offseason. He's really kind of getting his bearings in minicamp, but he's going out of his way to really build that chemistry on the offensive side of the ball, and he is genuinely excited about being there and kind of getting himself back to the Carson Wentz that we all knew of yesteryear. But then on the defensive side of the ball, some Colts fans were kind of freaking out when they lost guys like Justin Houston and Danico Autry. Thank you very much, Indianapolis. Yes. And so there has been a lot of stories and a lot of observations about some of the younger guys who are stepping up. The rookie Kwity Paye is someone who has been referenced a lot as really diving in head first and trying to learn this defense really well. And you have to remember that DeForest Buckner is there, and he is leading the charge and keeping fans from losing their minds because they are so fired up about him and what he's going to be able to do on that defensive side of the ball. So they have a lot of people who are stepping into those abandoned roles in OTA and mini camps. But for a while, Colts fans were coming a little bit unglued because the Tennessee Titans stole a player that they really liked.
And they absolutely did, and that's one of my favorite signings that John Robinson did this offseason, because I go back and look at the film of what he's done against the Titans.
Monster.
Trying to wreck, I mean, they've wrecked games for them. So
yep.
Having him in Two-Tone Blue, very good thing. Carson Wentz, to me, is really where it ends and begins as to what the Colts do going forward. They had Phillip Rivers last year in a one-year deal. And what he does, and I'm not discounting any of the rest of the teammates on the three phases of their team, because they're good. And that Chris Ballard has done a great job putting them together. Frank Reich's done a great job coaching. But Carson Wentz just came off of his worst year as a pro in 2020. Played in 12 games, eventually replaced by Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. I mean, he was down in passer rating. He was down in yards. He was, 16 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Some poor decision-making with throws. Now, I will say this, and Jay Mart and Ramon this morning had Steve Palazzolo on for Pro Football Focus. And Palazzolo outlined, he said, listen, per our ratings, 2020 was the first time that Carson Wentz did not have a top 10 rated pass-blocking offensive line, which is true. And then the wide receiving duo, the wide receiving core there is just it's not great. In fact, they didn't have a receiver over 550 yards in that category. You know, Travis Fulgham and Greg Ward, Dallas Goedert, the tight end, Zach Ertz, Jalen Reagor. So that's, part of where Carson Wentz is in this. But we haven't really seen Carson Wentz back to like 2017 Carson Wentz that was really, really good. And certainly the hope is that he's not that good being in the division with the Titans. But I look at, their comings and goings. I mean, Anthony Costanzo retired, their longtime left tackle. In fact, he was hurt in the game against the Titans up there last year and subsequently retired. And they replaced him with Eric Fisher, the former Chief, who tore his Achilles in the AFC Championship game. He's coming off of that at 30 years old. That's their tackle.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like they completely addressed the offensive line. I think it seems like everybody's wanting to say that Quentin Nelson just, let's plug him in and everybody else will be better. And it's like,
he
whoa,
just takes
hold,
over hold, the whole yeah. line.
Hold on a second.
He's good, but he's not that
I think
good.
That is a big question mark for this. And then, Jacoby Brissett leaves as their backup, and you mentioned it, Danico Autry is a huge loss for them on defense. They didn't really address the wide receiver position in the draft much. I mean, T.Y. Hilton comes back after he floated out there for a little bit in free agency. He's not the T.Y. Hilton of old. He's getting dinged up a little more. So I think it really honestly comes down to Carson Wentz in this as to what the Titans, how well they do in this division.
Rhett, can I ask you a question?
Go.
Of these three AFC South teams, which one are you the most interested in watching throughout training camp?
It would be Indianapolis, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, look, Jacksonville's going to be Jacksonville as long as Urban Meyer thinks he can do everything like he did in college. And Houston's just a mess. It's a dumpster fire.
That's why I would pick Houston.
Yeah, just that would entertainment. That's me too. Houston's
this is Lucas.
A circus.
He's watching NASCAR for the wrecks. he's a rubbernecker, right?
Yeah.
But no, I say Indianapolis just because that's who I think you've got to worry about. I'm not sleeping on the other two. But you both make compelling arguments. The whole division's going to be interesting to watch. But, Lucas, you might be right. It might be Houston because they're in such terrible shape.
Top to bottom, it might be one of the more fascinating divisions in terms of storylines in the league. Like, but any bias aside, in terms of quarterbacks, the bottom of it with the Texans and the top with the Titans and Colts kind of dueling it out.
And you're right, because one doesn't know what their quarterback situation is going to be. And then the other three either have one or have gotten a new one. So, yeah. And it's a quarterback league, so here we are.
Well, and as the season goes on and we start to get closer in Houston, we see if they are going to kind of right the ship a little bit, or the ship is just going to go down, or Jacksonville starts to get some reps with a new head coach, a new quarterback, getting this team kind of gelling together. Anything is possible. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what makes the AFC South so compelling right now. The Tennessee Titans have added a lot of flash and excitement to their roster. They seem to be stout. Houston, God only knows. Jacksonville's got a lot of fancy pieces right now. Will they all fit together? And that includes the head coach. Indianapolis seems like they've really bolstered some areas, but also have some question marks. What's that going to look like? I mean, anything could happen in this division, and I think that's so exciting to go from being a division where it was kind of like, well, they're all bad, and let's just see who the best of the worst is, to, whoa, there's some real storylines here. This could get pretty interesting.
When's the last time there were this many eyeballs on each AFC South team? Because it's the Carson Wentz experiment in Indy, Urban Meyer, Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, Julio Jones comes to Nashville, and then it's a train wreck in Houston.
Right. Yeah. We are a blockbuster division right now.
Yeah.
Get your popcorn.
For a myriad of reasons that he just outlined.
Yeah. Everything's exciting right now, and I am here for it.
If I'm Carson Wentz, I'm worried about what the offensive line's like. Because, Eric Fisher's coming off an Achilles, right, and he's 30 years old.
Carson Wentz doesn't need to spend too much time on his back anymore. I mean, my man, he's taken some hits over the years.
And Jacksonville better hope they don't get Trevor Lawrence hurt, because Cam Robinson's their left tackle they franchised, and he's been good, but he hadn't been, great. So.
I guess they've got Tim Tebow.
There you go. Here we go.
And it comes full circle.
The jump passes galore at the goal line, if they can get there, though, right? Hey, we'll be back to wrap up hour two of the Buck Rising Show. Amy Wells and Rhett Bryan, along with Lucas Panzeca, here on 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back to the Buck Rising Show on 104.5 The Zone, your home for the Vols, and certainly the home of Titans Radio. Buck is out today. Lucas Panzeca, the trusty producer, is back off of a day off yesterday. Buck will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. I'm Rhett Bryan from Titans Radio. Amy Wells from Titans Radio is here with me. We are making our way through the Buck Rising Show. It's moving fast.
I'll tell you what, that song really redeemed itself there. For a minute, I was like, what in the world? This is so somber. Is this the kind of show we're having?
Slow out the gate for
that sure. That is not my almost noon vibe. I'm excited right now.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, wow, where are we going? Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, good. There it is. And then it came, and then it was kind of jazzy and good, and I liked it. But for a minute, I was like, man, what's happening in there? Shoot.
This hour, we have been discussing the NCAA and the Supreme Court ruling about kind of opening up some things for student-athletes, and certainly going through the AFC South with topics around the Titans division going into the 2021 season. Let's go to the phones here at 615-737-1045. Chuck in Clarksville, you want to chime in on the NCAA ruling? Go ahead.
Hey, Red, I just was thinking, with all this new NCAA rule, is that going to open up the free-range booster programs again? I mean, pardon the pun, but could the pilot oil money bring us a take off for the balls a little bit?
Hey, Chuck, I appreciate you calling. There will be fans from every fan base in the world asking that same kind of question. And that's where the slippery slope is for the NCAA and whatever Justice Kavanaugh wants to say, is you're trying to prevent the Wild West. And here's the thing. The Wild West still goes on.
Right.
It's just who gets caught. Let's be honest. I mean, it's maybe not quite as blatant as it used to be, but, the McDonald's bags were real. There's been stories throughout, many years of college athletics where there's been an envelope full of money or whatever.
Duffel bag.
Yeah. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, star player shows up in a $100,000 car or what, you know. In fact, that reminds me, this comes from a longtime News Channel 5 sports anchor, Hope Hines, who was here for many, many years. And he wrote a book a few years ago after he retired. And he talked about when he first came into this market, he was talking to Big John Merritt, the former longtime head coach of the TSU Tigers. And, of course, that's Eddie George now. But we're talking about a recruiting deal when they were pursuing Herschel Walker, who was, you know, one of the most decorated SEC players ever, as in, you know, when he was at Georgia. They drove down to his house, and there was a brand-new red Firebird sitting in the driveway, and immediately told his driver, hey, let's go back to Nashville. He goes, wait a minute, we drove all this way. He goes, nah, somebody's already got him.
Interesting.
So, you know, that happens.
Well, and I think part of the hope is that expanding the rules a little bit eliminates some of the illegal activity by making more of it legal, if that makes sense. I think being able to give kids the option to choose a university, not just being based on who's going to do some like slippery stuff on the side. I think that that's the hope. Now, to Rhett's point, the wild, wild west will always exist.
Yep, it will.
There are always going to be places that try to get that extra edge or bend the rules or flat out break them. And so it's being able to regulate that and try to stop some of the bananas activity without, you know, while still compensating these players in the way that you can and making sure they're able to have a good college experience and then prepare themselves for the long
haul. I still go back to what I've been saying all hour is, you know, I feel like they're, when you're talking socioeconomics, it's all of that is thrown into a great big pool in whatever university you're at, especially a Power Five school. And you might have come from podunk out in the sticks, or you came from the inner city, or you came from blue collar, white collar, whatever. And I just feel like what they're leaning towards is something to loosen up some of those restrictions where an athlete can get a meal when they might not otherwise have the option due to monies.
Right.
Or lack thereof.
Absolutely.
Because you hear these stories about, well, man, the training table was closed. I had to, you know, just do whatever to survive. And you got to be able to get past those things. And for me, it's not just, hey, that guy was on the cover of, you know, the college football EA Sports, you know, game in 2014. Let's pay him, you know, whatever. But
it's about quality of life.
It's amazing how much the social media stuff, though, has changed with this name, image, and likeness stuff that's about to go into effect in all these different states. What'd I say? Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, New Mexico, Texas. And it's in Tennessee as well, because Governor Lee signed off on that. So if you're a top-notch athlete, you can make, like you said, a side hustle.
The world is changing quickly, and the legality of all of it is just rapidly changing to try and keep up. And so it's going to be interesting to see where some of these things land because, I mean, say what you want. The NCAA policies are a little out of date in this realm because just the world has expanded so much and there's so many different ways that athletes are being asked to do things to benefit the organizations and the teams and all the schools that they're playing for. There's got to be a happy medium there somewhere. I don't know exactly what they're going to land on, but
this may be a poor correlation, but I think what you're saying is think about the NFL. For the longest time, it was an arm's length away from anything related to Las Vegas, sports books, betting, whatever. And they've embraced that because it is a cash cow.
I mean, holy smokes. If you even looked at a sports book, you felt like you were going to get in trouble for a long
Absolutely.
Time. I mean, oh my gosh, no, I didn't see it. I'm walking the other way. I mean, there was a period of my life where I was like, I can't go into a casino. No, there's bad things in there. I'll get fired. That period is gone, and I'm also broke. So there might be a correlation there. There might not be.
You know what period is gone? The second hour of the Buck Rising Show. It is just done just like that. It's flying by.
We're having too much fun,
right? We are. We absolutely are. We invite you to jump in and to conversation if you want to call 615-737-1045 as hour three, the final hour of the Buck Rising Show with Amy Wells and myself, is on the way. We get into a Titans training camp primer. So maybe some of the battles you'll see, who needs to have a good camp, and also the importance of what an in-person offseason has been beneficial for a team like the Titans trying to take a step forward past winning the AFC South Division and competing for a championship. We'll get to all of that and more on the way on the Buck Rising Show here on 104.5 The Zone.